Welcome to Inspired Radio with Helen Taylor. Get ready to be inspired. Stories have power and conversations spark change. So let's create a new world and get started right now.
Good afternoon, Melbourne. Good afternoon, Australia, and good day or evening to all our international listeners too. I'm Helen Taylor. Welcome to my show, Inspired Radio. I'm here with you every Monday, 4 p.m. Melbourne, Australia time, and Sunday, 11 p.m. Central Time, US and Canada, for conversations and stories to inspire you. This is the BBS Radio TV platform going live to about 190 outlets worldwide. When I got this back up and running, this show, this radio show back up and running, I had a few friends and family come out of nowhere and sponsor me and support me, which was really lovely. So today's show, I would like to thank Tony DeLion. Tony has been my friend for decades. He is a treasured part of my life and is a beautiful man. So thank you, Tony, so much for sponsoring today's show. Inspired Radio is all about change and getting uncomfortable and shaking up the status quo, because we're breaking free from limiting systems and embracing our infinite potential. My guests are here to tell their story, to reveal how they have overcome change and made better lives for themselves and, of course, for others, to inspire you with their stories as well. This show embodies the spirit of love, respect, and compassion. And with that in mind, I'm going to introduce you to today's guest, who I'm calling Top Cat Tony, because lots of people do call him Top Cat Tony. He's a bit of an enigma to me because I don't know him personally, but I certainly know of him. His energy is good, his words are good, and today we finally get to know the man behind the mystery. So we're diving into some big topics such as consciousness, self-governance, the return of the wealth to the people, and emerging technologies that will transform our health. So what can we squeeze into 1 hour? Well, let's find out. So joining us from Ireland, welcome Tony.
Thank you very much, Helen. What a beautiful introduction. I don't think I needed to say any more, really. I can go now. That was fantastic.
No, you can't. I'm glad you like it, but no, you can't.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's look at the mystery behind this man. You know, let's start firstly. You put a post up somewhere that I read. This was back in October, and this was the comment that you made. There's no such leaving of the Matrix. How can there be when it was created by us in the first place? I just loved that because I get that. But how did you come to a space? How did you get to a space where you know we created this world?
Great question. It definitely wasn't easy. The quickest way to answer that is, like anything, is my own personal life experiences. But I always, even taking it back to when I was a child, I always kind of felt very responsible for my own actions, in terms of, like, I didn't necessarily look for others to blame, so to speak. That was just something that was inbuilt in me. It was inbuilt in my parents, especially my mother, who I had an incredibly close bond, and her simple mantra to me was, "You can do anything you put your mind to." That was just simple, and it stuck in my mind. So on that basis, you know, I did do quite a lot from a young age. I always felt this did affect me. I always felt that I had to kind of be the best of what I was doing, whatever I was doing. Especially I was into sports and soccer and football, and I played professional sport around the football as well when I was younger. And this kind of did spill over. Even academically, I felt I had to be the best. So it did change. My attitude changed, obviously, as I got older. But it was that determination to kind of always do the best and be the best I can at whatever I'm doing, helped me to kind of, when I went through some very, very tragic circumstances, which really was triggered by my sister Elaine, a beautiful eldest sister. She was an absolute angel. She died at a very young age at 29, and she had diagnosed with cervical cancer. I had four sisters. Well, I still have three living, but she unfortunately is not and has not been since she passed from the cancer. She was diagnosed early, the medic said, and we're very confident of helping her to beat her early stage cancer, but they bombarded her with the chemo and radiation, and her beautiful petite body couldn't cope. So that I when I realized that really allowed me to look into the mortality end of things, and what we are, who we are, as men and women, I suppose. At the time, I looked at the medical system. I completely realized the medical system wasn't the right thing. So to answer, to fast track, that was really a trigger for me to start looking into what they were doing. I say they. Let's just use the cabal as the term. What they were doing, especially around the medical system, and
So can I interject there?
yeah.
So what you're saying is that, through and thank you so much for just being so open and frank with us about your sister, because those things, no matter how long ago, are still uncomfortable and uneasy to
Absolutely.
express. So thank you very much for doing that. But you're saying that through that, it just opened up a door to you starting to question a lot of things.
100%, yeah, and it started with the medical system, but even as a young age, I was a bit perturbed by the schooling. I felt it was just, I felt we were just sitting there just being brainwashed. Whether you're in a church or whether you're in a school, you've just got one individual. Just you have to do what you're told, basically.
Yes.
And I realized I was a very, very, I even though I was good academically, I got into quite a lot of trouble because I questioned a lot of things.
Sure.
And even the lecturers or the teachers at the time, I'd question, and they saw it as me being brass and all this. But I realized later in life it was just me questioning things because it didn't resonate. So yes, my sister was the real trigger. From that, I got into much more into the natural healing end of things, and studied a lot of energy modalities, and then I branched into the energy healing. And my mum, the sadness of losing my sister. My mum had cancer twice of that, and she was terminally diagnosed in 2005. And I spent 3 months with her solid for 3 days after Elaine's passing. We both said, no, she's not, she can't go, she's not ready to go. But they gave up on her. They said there's no point, which was a blessing. No chemo, no radiation, no medicine, nothing whatsoever. And she had
Is
12
this your
tumors
mum?
on.
This is your
Yeah,
mum.
my mum.
Yeah.
Yeah, so back in the second terminal diagnosis, 2004, the first one, she had a hysterectomy to remove her womb.
Oh, gosh.
After they found, yeah, she went through the mill after they found the tumor on her uterus, but they got it early, they said, and we thought everything was good. I know actually, even just on that is life shit. That is not meant to happen. You're not meant to remove the wombs of women, but anyway,
No, they don't, they don't
yeah,
understand that
how that changes you,
it is not
yeah.
about physically taking something out of a body.
Absolutely. I could see the change in her. She really did. Everything changed in her emotionally and everything. But the miracle was in the healing, where she had 12 tumors on two lungs, seven on her left, I remember it well, five on her right, nodules. And they said, there's no point, just give her quality of life, no chemo, no radiation. And that was a blessing. I spent 3 months with her every day to help her. She went back for the third scan. I can't remember if it was the second or third, and she got the all clear. There was no, all tumors were gone. I was called into a meeting myself to ask what was I doing for my mother, because she told them, oh, my son is helping me, and typical mother. And of course, I was called into this meeting with three professors, two that were shipped in from wherever they were shipped in, and we were just overjoyed that my mum was
So
clear. That's all.
hang on. Can we go back one step here? So you're
Yeah.
saying that whatever it was you were doing with her removed those tumors.
Well, I realized from then, yes, that it was my mother that healed herself. I just facilitated.
Correct. Okay, good. I just needed to be clear on that. So then you get the men in white coats who call in to figure out what the hell you've been doing. Is that what that was going on?
Oh, it was surreal, yeah, because we went in there buzzing and fantastic, and next thing you go in and this energy is just so different, you know. And in fairness, the oncologist who was the main oncologist for mother, he was amazing. He just said, "Continue doing what you're doing," but they were questioning. And my mother interrupted and said, "Excuse me, the only medicine I needed was the unconditional love of my son and of Jesus."
Oh.
She really believed in Jesus, and
Yep.
she really believed in me, and I really believed in her, and that was it. And it shut them up in the New York second, you know.
Right.
They had no comeback from that.
Well,
And
certainty does not leave space for any doubt, does it?
no, absolutely, it was a wonderful, surreal moment. I'll never forget it, because
Yes.
we didn't go in there to expect this atmosphere. And soon I thought, oh, these people are not here overjoyed like we are that my mother has
Right.
survived. You know, they're questioning, how can she survive? I have a letter, actually. I have a letter which took years to get from that oncologist, in basically admitting there was no medical explanation for my mother's survival.
Wow, that's got to be, that's a rare piece of paper, Tony.
Absolutely. And we got that because he became a bit of a friend of the family. I wouldn't have got it otherwise, because he treated my sister at the very end of her illness. He actually wished he'd had more time with her, but he was bowled over by her. She was an incredible soul that he came to the house 3 days before she died, which is very unusual for a consultant. And he cried because she made such an impression on him. And he said, "I'm really sorry. I'm not meant to show my emotions." And my mother, I remember my mother giving him a hug and said, "Oh, that's what my daughter does to people. She triggers something in them," because she was incredible girl. So yeah, he was very instrumental insisting that my mother, or not insisting that not she didn't get chemo or radiation. If she did, she probably wouldn't have survived, you know.
No.
You know, and sadly, my sister, but I do believe that she was there helping my mother as well.
Sure.
So from that, word got out, and my mother, being my mother, I tell my mom, I said, "Please don't tell too many people about this, because I'm going to be bombarded." And of course, she couldn't help herself. And you know, she would talk to her friend and say, "Oh, my son says I have to help," blah blah. And I was inundated then, and I set up then just a semi-private practice. My fiance at the time said, "Oh, you need to help people." And I said, "I
But
don't want to
tell
be."
me, what did the shingle say? So what, you know, you hung a shingle out. So what were you calling yourself?
Well, it was initially I was doing some meditation. I used to meet up with these two amazing women. There's a great story behind that, and that was definitely not by chance. And we used to then meet up and do meditation. And we got the name Sanai. So I just created a healing called Sanai Healing. And I never really understood where Sanai came from, but I believed it came from Sananda. If those that know their bit about their spirituality, there's a name, Sananda, which the spiritualists
Sanskrit.
call. Yes, exactly. So he, and then I know there's Mount Sinai, and I thought, okay, it's all connected. But that was the name. But I did it for about 12 months, and so I just had a room at the house where I just brought people in and did the hands-on healing and whatever else came naturally. And there's some miraculous stories happened from that, which maybe another time we can talk
We'll do
about.
another. We'll do a whole other show on this. Absolutely.
Absolutely. Yeah, so getting to,
My question to you was, there's no
the
such thing as
consciousness.
leaving the matrix, right? Because,
Yes.
we created it. So
Yes.
you had all these healing experiences that, led you to a deeper understanding of who we are and what we're capable of.
Absolutely. So it brought me down to the hardest part, believe it or not, of my life, which is when I really saw the darkness within the matrix, so to speak. And that ended up taking my mother's freedom, her life. Destroying my mother and father's marriage as a result, breaking them, then separating them, all for money and greed and cover up and all that, those horrible things. So I thought, if they're capable of doing that, they're capable,
Sorry,
that is
Sully,
real.
let's just go back a step for everybody that's listening. What do you mean? So the darkness was in physical form, so it was in the forms of what? Banks of
Judges, the courts, the
okay.
public health service, social workers,
Right.
owners of nursing homes. We call them nursing homes, care homes, maybe you call them, and the state itself. So I discovered, after my mum had a standard hip operation in 2014, which was messed up, and she never walked again. I threatened, back then, not knowing the legal system, how corrupt it is, I threatened legal action through the family solicitor because it was a black and white case. My mother used to walk 3 miles a day after a standard hip operation. She never walked again. She was confined to a
Right.
wheelchair.
Yes.
And but he did urge me to consider, and I spoke to the family, my father especially, and he said, "Son, this is going to take up too much time of your time. They're going to the solicitor said they're going to fight this tooth and nail because it's too serious a case. So you need to make a decision whether you're prepared for that." And my father was the one that convinced me, "Just try and find somebody. The priority is get your mom walking again," and that was the priority.
Well, because you were simply looking at the system, like a lot of people do, saying that it's going to see justice and it's going to see fairness, and you've got a
Absolutely.
very sure case, and you wanted to go in there and get compensation for your mum, right? And
Well, it wasn't, it was never about the money, Helen. It was more the principle. But then at the same time, the money came into only thought, well, if we don't get her walking again, this is going to cost a lot of money. So they should be paying for it,
in
not
terms of
us.
her care
Her
and
care, yeah. So that was the only thinking was around that. But she had private health insurance, so then I realized the money wasn't an issue. She had that covered a lot of what she needed to do. So I thought, no, yeah, it was more the anger really. But actually, it was what they were decided to do off the back of that, because I didn't proceed with the lawsuit, so to speak. They began a campaign behind closed doors to get control of my mother's care, her body. And then to bring her under
mean,
the
how were they trying to gain control of that?
yeah. So what they and this is what I discovered they do in Ireland through a system called the Wards of Court system. So this is a system that, on the face of it, looks like it's protecting vulnerable community like older
Yes,
people.
we have it here in Australia, and it's guardianship. It's,
Yeah,
it's
the same thing.
becoming a guardian. Yes.
And if you look up an incredible, I told people this recently on another interview, if you look up in a brilliant movie called I Care a Lot, which was made by Rosamund Pike, a famous actress, is in that. I've connected with the director of that about doing another movie over here, and because this explains how they do it in America. And I explained to him how they're doing it over in Europe, in
Right.
particular in Ireland. And as you say, they're doing it. So it was from that I realized, my goodness, they're doing this across the board. So how they do it is I'll just simplify. And this does get me to the answer,
Sure.
your question eventually. And so it was from that I discovered that they have a already had a process in place. They use the legalese BS that they create. In this case, it was a legislation called the Lunacy Regulations Act,
Oh,
1871.
that
They're
sounds horrid.
from the lunatics. So it stemmed from the British and more British Crown skullduggery. So they and under the Lunacy Regulations Act, you only need one family member and one doctor to support an application for a, let's say in this case, an older woman. To be brought under the protection of the court. So for 4 years, they fooled us into thinking they were trying to provide care for my mother at her home and in there and do this and that. But they were only trying to build up a file of BS to try and say she wasn't being looked after in the home, in her own home. And
Okay.
this and they made because I was the one that was tuned into what was going on from an early stage. Well, I won't say I didn't know really everything until 2000 and kind of the start of 2018 when I really realized what they were doing. And but because they knew that I was clued in, they knew I was the main problem that they had to get rid of, so to speak.
Remove.
Yeah, remove. And what they did was I'll never I won't go into, it's not about me, but they I realized they have to go after the one who's the biggest kind of issue for them. And if they try and discredit him or her, that's their main modus operandi. So in my mother's case,
So basically, the state is trying to position themselves as
the
the
guardian.
carer and the
Yeah.
controller of the elderly man or woman and remove the family from
Yep.
having any say.
And that's what they did. I mean, in our case, it was the first case in the history we were told that the husband, in this case, the husband, my dad, was alive. They did also allege that my mother was of unsound mind. That was the key thing. That's what they do across the board, deem
Yes.
them to be of unsound mind.
Yes.
And that is at the very, very core of it all. But in my father's case, they didn't say there was anything wrong with him, but yet they ignored everything. They were together for 50, 60 years now, and they ignored everything
He didn't
he
have a
has.
say.
No,
That
there was nothing.
must have been awful for your father.
She was treated like a piece of meat. And I remember in the court once, I don't know how I held my emotions back, because I looked at him, and I'll never forget the heartbreak seeing him, because he's in the back of the court and they're all like taking pieces. It was like just a cattle market, and they're just taking pieces of meat and talking about what they should do to my mum and all that. It was horrific. But that really woke me up to the whole idea of, well, they've created this, then I understood the rules of commerce. What I create, I control, and first in time is first in line. I discover that as well, all them th those type of rules. But then I kind of then started to study, how, again, going back to my early stages of feeling quite accountable for my own choices, I started to go, well, how have we contributed towards this?
Oh, now you're starting
Now
to
we're
answer
getting
my
there.
question.
Yeah. So
Okay.
that's the question. So I started to go, because I really don't, I never like being the victim. I always feel that ultimately we're the co-creators. So this got me to study consciousness more. It got me to realize that, yes, there is very much a matrix, but what we see is just a projection of what's going on inside us. And when that hit home, I thought, hang on a second. Well, if that's the case, we have to be creating. Or we have to, what we're seeing is what's being felt on a collective basis,
Well,
or what's going on inside us.
let me put it in simple terms. Everything that's outside of us, those systems that have been created, those corporate systems and different levels, I've just summed up that they were created by the minds of men. And
Absolutely.
they're incredible structures and they're incredible systems that for hundreds of years were created and contributed to by the minds of men. But we're moving out of that mental energy. We're moving away from those sorts of structures. So they're starting to fall apart a little.
100%. And that's where the awakening is. It's the
Yes.
awakening isn't about what the evil is doing. It's about how we've actually contributed and created the world around us.
And that's why I
And
get a little upset when people want to fight and argue with those systems out there. Well, because essentially we did create them, we co-created them. So, it's easier just to exit stage left and create something new.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Well, and that's what Anna said. And Anna, actually, it was so much of what I had learned came to fruition in terms of what I understood. So one of the things Anna said is, we're not actually trying to take down their system
We just say
or
who
fight
Anna
it.
is because
Oh, I beg your
we're
pardon.
going
Yes.
international here and people don't know who she is.
Yeah, so Anna is an amazing woman. So after my battle to save my mother from the system, so to speak, ended when her life was taken. And I know it wasn't done naturally. I know that, but I couldn't get justice. So I came across Anna then in 2021, and the rest is history. We had an incredible 2 hour initial conversation. She said the chances of me finding her or getting her at that time was very rare. So Anna is the American fiduciary trustee of the American Federation for the American people, namely the American Reconveyed State Nationals. But she's also been declared as global fiduciary for many other sovereign nations, including Terra Australis and ourselves in Terra Eru, which AKA Ireland. Anna's main I suppose, mission is to just simply reclaim and help give back to what the people rightfully owns or is theirs. And that's around the credit that has been used off our assets and recouping the assets. It's also on a bigger level is being able to discover how we can achieve self-governance through the restoration of our land and soil governments, which is the one and only true lawful government for the people. So Anna taught me many things as she's taught so many people, but one of the things that really hit home is she said, we're looking, it's all about jurisdiction and jurisdiction at issues, and you have to have jurisdiction or the authority to do what you're doing. They do as well.
Well,
So she's,
can we just go back one step? So
yeah.
what essentially for people out there, just to put some pieces together, those systems and those corporations out there have created their own jurisdiction, and we don't need to go so much into how and why and all the rest of it.
Yeah.
They created their own jurisdictions, and because they did that, they created their own systems, and they've been milking all of us of our own wealth for a long, long time. That's what you're talking about.
Yeah, and actually, just to touch on what you said earlier on is, which is very important, they've controlled the minds of men. So what I discovered from that was that they've learned all of the laws. They've studied them. They understand them. They understand them more than we do. And
Natural
natural
laws,
laws,
oh.
universal laws, natural laws, God's laws, and on the basis of that, and then having their own legalese legislations, thousands and thousands of them, they have been able to, and through the mainstream media, through the pharmaceutical industry, through the academic teachings, they've controlled the consciousness. They've actually taken control of our consciousness by. So that we've actually ended up creating, as I say to people, what we don't want instead of what we do want.
Well, that's how a movement happens, right? I mean, if I wanted to be
Absolutely.
some megalomaniac kind of leader in my 20s, if I had known this stuff, I could have told everybody that I was the new coming of something, and everybody had to follow me, and everyone had to do the things that I wanted them to do, and
Yep.
I would tell them how to think and how to behave
How to.
and what to do, right? I mean, to me, I just see that the whole world is full of Ponzi schemes, right? And there's people at the top of it who have learned, like you said, those laws that you can control people's minds. You can control their thoughts. And the energy from their thoughts creates reality, right?
100%. And they have disconnected us. The big thing, and Anna used a word to me recently, separation, and this really resonated. It's they have separated us from who we really are.
Yes.
And the power, when you discover who you really are, which is where I've been going through my work more than anything of late, is you realize the infinite power and infinite wisdom you have. And they have disconnected us from that because they are scared, to the bones that if we do really all reconnect with who we are, that's it. It's game over for them.
It is.
And so this is where, to answer your question, finally, answer your question. I do tend to do that. I tend to go back to go forward when I'm giving the background to it. So hopefully
Well,
that
it's
people will
lovely because
understand.
I really appreciate, and I'm sure everyone will, to hear those stories that you've been through as well. People relate,
Yeah,
can really relate.
they do. They do. Yeah, and as you say, it is about the real life stories and the story. So this ultimately is. I can't remember exactly when, but the penny really dropped a number of years ago, and I said. When I take in consideration, I never really played the victim as a young age. I just wanted to get out there and make things myself and do things myself and hold myself accountable as much as possible. Of course, we don't do that all the time. That's what makes us human. And the ego as well, as people think, see, ego is overconfidence. No, I believe the ego is what makes us human, and we're constantly in a battle between faith and fear. And you're either the faith is the good side, the fear is the dark side, and you're either going to get to a point where you're controlled by one or the other, but you want to get to a point where you're completely at one with yourself and you're not fighting in that battle.
And with the ego as well, because the ego
Absolutely.
is intrinsically a part of us.
Yeah, 100%. And that, yes, that is, I believe that's what really is where it helps us to evolve and to learn. Without that, we wouldn't be learning, So just to finish on that, then, yeah, Anna did tell me that. we're here to stand in the jurisdiction that gives us the authority over all other jurisdictions and over all the corporations.
Yes.
And that made really a lot of sense with me understanding or getting to the point of understanding that that really is where we need to be. And that's also part of discovering who we are. Because if you just we can't stand on the sea, you can't stand in the air. So obviously we're standing on the land and soil. And when I combine that with the whole idea, well, if we're not the victims, we're the creators, that's where we need to stand. And
Yes.
then we need to understand how we can use our consciousness to create the world we want to create.
Fabulous. That is absolutely fabulous. We'll just have a little pregnant pause there, everybody, for you just to absorb that. You are the creator.
Absolutely.
People need to get that, don't they? But you know, I find that when people first start realizing that they are, I went through this myself, and you may have too. You get a little hesitant with going, oh my gosh, I'd sort of forgotten how to dream. I'd forgotten how to really, focus on something that I would love and I would enjoy and I'd be satisfied with.
Absolutely. Yeah. Dreaming is all part of obviously the consciousness being able to and that's the starting point or an original point where you put the intention out there
Yes.
to bring to it to create what you want to create. But it is really that important. Like even I go through stages, of course, when we can have some difficult. I lost my father during the year in a very difficult circumstance. So, but I also realized, and I want to say this, I had to take stock myself. On the basis that of what we're discussing, that we're the creators, I realized all this trauma and people were feeling sorry for me, and I fell into that trap as well of all these losses, and I've gone through a lot of miscarriages and as well over the years, and so it kind of got me to the point that I'm like, hang on, I need to stop feeling this trauma, and I need to own it. And it really got to the point then a few number of months ago where I realized that I was also creating that trauma, because I hadn't dealt with previous trauma from childhood, and that was my fear, say, of loss or fear of abandonment, and even for someone that's done a lot of work, that was a wake up for me, and
I
I and
like that. Yeah, I like. I'm sorry to interrupt there. I
yeah.
like that you've touched on this because in the last 6 years, I'm a little bit like you. I had been working on myself for decades, and I had learned about more about who we really are and how we create and to release trauma and the past and to be in the present and all those kind of bits and pieces that are, parts of the journey back to really being directly connected to creation or God or whatever you want to call it. But in the last 6 years, I saw a lot of people who hadn't been conscious of working on themselves get totally turned upside down, like you're saying. They lost people, they lost family members. I even did through this process too, I lost two sisters because of, just leading into COVID and lockdowns.
Yeah.
And I've lost two sons who don't talk to me. And I've watched other people losing family members in all sorts of ways, whether it's just not talking to them or from them passing away. So we're splitting into two realities, aren't we?
100%. I just want to touch on that. What I also discovered in my journey, especially in the years, let's say, thinking I had to fight the system, I realized that the family unit is what they attack more than anything. Because that is ultimately the strongest part of who we
Of
are,
course, yeah.
but of course, I often felt like the different one, apart from being the only boy, which has its challenges. When I was growing up with four other sisters, and that was an experience, I can
I
say.
bet.
But yeah, unbelievable. Never understood how they'd kill each other over eyebrow pencils and things like that. And so I would. I remember that was how, when my mum used to feel a bit sorry for me, but I was perfectly fine, I thought. But it did get me to the realization of family. So I'm now in the process myself of reconciling with family. It was something I felt I needed to do. So this was going back to my trauma. And although I realize I think differently, I act differently to a lot of my family. I realize at the end of the day, they're still family. And I've now began the process, and I know this is an important part for me. I'm not saying everybody should do this, but I do believe as much reconciliation as you can with your family. You, and it doesn't mean my mum used to say, it was incredible. She said, "You don't need to be best friends. You don't even need to love each other to unconditionally." She said, "You realize as a family it that is there." But she said, "Just get along, for God's sake, just get along." That's all she asked for. So I'm now at the process of just getting along with family members that maybe you've fallen out with over the years. And I realize they themselves are going through their own turmoil and they haven't woken up. And I think this is what I want to finish on. And this is the hardest lesson that people will make. One of the hardest lessons: you are not the victim. Stop playing the victim. And there are some horrific things happen out there, and people will say that's impossible to say. You know, such and such was killed in a car accident, and there you could absolutely say that, you know, they are victims. But we are not ultimately the victims. We are the students, and we're the creators. You know.
Yes. And I've always had a little bit of a motto: if you don't plan life, life will plan you. And
Yeah.
a lot of things happen to you and at you because you're not giving focus and direction to your own life. And then it just seems
Absolutely.
like we're at the mercy of things, and you are. You are.
Absolutely.
So
Yeah.
we need to have some focus. So the focus is create this new reality where we're self-governed and where we're, you know, really starting to step into being the creators that we are, and enjoy loving people and being kind with people. You know, it starts from you, doesn't it?
100%. Yeah, everything is, and that's actually the next thing. If you stop playing the victim, you become more accountable then for your thoughts, your beliefs, your actions. And when you become more accountable, you step more into who you are, because that's the creative side of you then, you know.
That's beautiful. So let me lead into now to Olive Branch. Tell me about Olive Branch centers.
Well, I mentioned my mum quite a few times because she was so significant to me. As people got to know us over the years, it wasn't just a mother son. There was a deep, deep soul connection there. I know a lot of people would resonate with that, with various relationships they have. So, yeah, the tragic story that ended in my mum's demise brought me to the point where I realised I couldn't get justice through the legal system. And this incredible barrister became friends of the family. He was shocked when he realised we couldn't get justice through the legal system. It opened his eyes to the point that even he's now in the process of reconveying, believe it or not.
Boy, your mum was touching a lot.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, because it was actually what happened her made him feel very sympathetic to me and our family and the fight we had. And then when he went to his three most trusted, I don't know what you call them, but we call them solicitors, attorneys, so maybe you call them lawyers. He was shocked when they asked the question, who is this family? And when he said, I've become friends with them, they said, okay, we're not going to take this case. It's not going to go anywhere. We're just going to end up bleeding your friends dry in terms of the money. And he couldn't believe it. He's never heard an attorney, lawyer say something like that. So it was from that he said, Tony, get the message out, get the story out there. That's my best advice. So I came up with the name, the Olive Branch. My mother's name was Olive.
Oh, of course it
Yeah,
was.
of course it was. Yeah. So, well, actually, her first name was Rosaline. In the old days, they used the middle name a lot, Rosaline Olive. Like my father was James Anthony, and he was known as Tony as well. So, yeah, Olive. That's that. So, I started to write the first ch ch six chapters of a book called The Olive Branch Story, and from that, then I always had a dream. My mum and anybody that knows me knows dreams of healing centers. I couldn't really picture exactly what they were, but I just always felt that this was going to happen. So when I combined the story, what happened to my mother, her name, and that dream, I came up with the Olive Branch Healing Centers. So it was since 2022, and meeting Anna as well. She only asked me there a while ago. I said, "Have you still planned to open an Olive Branch Healing Center in Alaska?" Which we do. So I've
And
joined to.
Australia, and Australia.
Oh, 100%. Yeah,
Yes.
absolutely. Without a shadow of a doubt. Yeah, I've been talking to Janine quite a. I don't know if you know Janine. Janine Smith. She's in Terra Australis, I think New South Wales. So I'm friends with Janine. I know her a while ago. So she's into the healing as well, and natural healing. So yes, we talked about that. So I've earmarked kind of 12 countries And I've got a partner in Ireland and in England, so we've actually looked, but for whatever reason, it wasn't, there was still something missing, and the whole area of med beds, I think, was what was missing, which has brought me to maybe something we can touch on now or a later stage.
Let's touch on it because I mean, they've been touting things. There's been so much kind of stuff out there since COVID, generating all over the place through a lot of different groups about med beds. That when I now say to people, because I know you put an announcement out, and I'll get you to announce that again in a moment, but when I started telling some people, they're so skeptical now because,
Oh, absolutely.
yeah, so let's get rid of the skepticism. Go ahead.
So the med beds is real. Now the question mark still comes from, in my eyes, I'm still uncertain if it has been created here on Earth, if the technology is from afar. I say that because I had a private conversation with a guy known as the Space Soldier, who claims to be an astronaut in the secret space program. And he claims
All
that
right,
the
people.
actual
All right, hang on. We're opening up a hell of a door here, people. Hold on. Just hold on.
Yeah, hold the horses. So yeah, it's another story altogether. But the med beds is something that I felt very connected to find out. So about,
But
what
this
was
is
it, about,
technology. It's technology.
yeah. Yeah, so if you listen to him, if you're to believe him and a growing number of others, there's been hidden in technology that was not created here. It was created, let's say, extraterrestrially. And NASA and the Secret Space Program are aware of this. They used it in whatever way they felt they needed to, but they were doing it for themselves, or for let's say internally, and for the astronauts, because according to him, they visited many planets more than they say, even Mars, he said. And what they do is they go through these med bed systems, and it actually clears their memory, so they forget where they've been on a mission, where they've been over the last decade. So in other words, he's saying that he's a
I've
lot.
heard of that sort of stuff. I mean, this is
Yeah.
all, with ritual abuse and survival
Yeah.
of abuse and things like that that have made claims about those sorts of things, about having their memories wiped.
Absolutely. So he said what's happened with him and a few other astronauts, they've started to, for whatever reason, start to remember certain things that they're not meant to be remembering. And it was on that basis that they started to question and go to their superiors and say this technology should be out there for the public. And that's when he realized it was being held back. Now, Anna has confirmed to me that the technology that the American military have already distributed 8 million med beds across the world. I'm waiting on information from her. She's waiting for to connect directly with the general of this med bed distribution, and so she has said that that's been created by the American military. Now the question I do have is, where did they get the intelligence from? Was it man-made, or was it from extraterrestrial? That experience. So I spent about a year and a half in the background speaking to people like that gentleman. He wouldn't allow me to put that conversation out there until he gave me the okay, basically. So I've stuck my kept to my word on that. But I can definitely share that that's the fundamentals of what was said, and he's out there now.
So, I mean, I suppose, look, I'm going to say it out loud. I don't give a toss where they come
Where it's
from.
come from.
I mean,
Yeah, true.
I'm sure we'll find out sooner or later, but I want to know that they're real and that they are being distributed worldwide now. And what are they going to do for us? What do the this do these med beds, this actual technology do?
Well, it can do absolutely almost everything, as far as I've been made aware. So anything from helping to cure people from their disease, whether that be cancer or even brain diseases, which is obviously something that was close to my heart because my mother was diagnosed with dementia back in the day, and regrow limbs, which is what this space soldier guy had mentioned to me, that he had a major accident on one of his missions, and he was his limb had fallen off or been lost a limb and it was able to regrow the limbs.
And you know,
So
sorry to interrupt there, but
yeah.
probably 17 years ago, I went to Thailand and I was learning what they called back then Russian knowledge. And it was
Right.
Russian healing knowledge. And, you know, even there in that course and with the people that I was connected with, they were talking about what the Russians were doing behind closed doors that most of the Western world knew nothing about. And part of that was replacing limbs. So I hear what you're saying. It's like to most people out there, it seems
Impossible.
fantastical, right? That, you know, like because it's just too far, like there's no link between where somebody's at the moment and the concept of med beds. But, you know, it's the Russians have been doing a hell of a lot of stuff behind closed doors that the Western world hasn't been aware of. So I don't think this is new.
No, it's not. The Russians are again, that's another story altogether,
Yeah.
Russians and Chinese, but especially the Russians. Yes, so they're very, very advanced. And you're correct. It doesn't really matter where it originated. It's the end result. So the other, it obviously has aesthetics, and this is where Anna has emphasized this 8 million, for example, med beds will not be prioritized for those that just want aesthetics improvements. They will be possible down the line, but it's really for those who urgently need healing, and that's
So we're
those with
talking
cancer.
with people with chronic illnesses, with
Absolutely.
the elderly as well,
Yes.
and anybody that really is, you know, needing replacements of limbs or
Yeah.
severely infirmed somehow.
Yeah. Veterans are a big part of that as well. And obviously, veterans are always very much damaged. So the priority is being given to that, but she doesn't really have a huge amount more information until she gets communicating with the general. But she has, they are going to communicate, I believe, and that's when we really get the information. There's a lot of there in my eyes, because I've studied this for a few years, and then I go back to my interest in natural healing and frequency healing. I mean, I studied a lot about what Nikola Tesla did and many others, and I believe that the body can heal itself from in any way.
Yes,
It's a miraculous,
yes.
if it's just been given the right frequency
Absolutely.
and resonance,
Absolutely. Look, I healed myself of cancer, and that was 17 years ago.
Amazing.
But, you know, the fella that I learned that from, he's in Ecuador and he's still around. One of the essential things that he tells people is we forget to talk to our body.
Bodies, yeah.
Need to talk to them because once upon a time we spoke to them and we told them to move a limb and to move a leg and to move an arm and to crawl. And then we taught it and we talked to it. So walk and we talk to it to tell it to move things and do things. And then we forget. We forget.
That's a brilliant way of doing it. You're right, and that, well, this is going back to the point of separation. They were being deliberately controlled to separate from the power that we have. But I've like from just from this, and Anna told me about an incredible med bed or med bath system in Colorado, where you may have seen her talk about this and unnoticed. She wanted to send Lord Rest Jim there, but he wasn't in a position to go. I was actually going to get my father there when we were looking after him, so it was all lined up. So she was a big shock to her as well when my father passed, like us. But she told us about this med bath. It's better to describe a med. You lie in this massive tank, and you have all the various frequency healing going through light, sound, and you go through an initial remote diagnostics. Then they analyze you remotely and then see if where you're at. They use your fingernails, samples of fingernails and hair for that. And then you go over and do an initial evaluation, physical evaluation. But if you were to go through the whole process, it takes 6 months of the protocol. But it combines all various frequency healing. But the main part is this bath where it removes all of the toxins. And this is what I've discovered as well. Bioresonance got me looking at bioresonance therapy, got
Yes.
me to
Yes.
understand that this is how I believe how it all stems is there's parasites are a huge issue in our body. And what this med tank does, I realize, it removes all of those parasites and other toxins. So that's the key part. We need to obviously flush out what is causing the disease. But I going back to that, and this is where the med beds maybe, I'm not sure if they can even work for this. I believe at the heart of a lot of people's trauma, sorry, pain and illness is their trauma that they've not dealt with. Even recently, as I said, I've realized I had trauma which I hadn't dealt with. So,
Well, you just think about what people have been through in the last 6 years. I mean,
absolutely.
I had a helicopter buzzing around my place a couple of times today, and I realized my heart rate was going up. And I'm a pretty just relaxed, calm sort of person these days. But I realized even then that was just going
A
back
bit
to
of fear.
the last 6 years where they were hovering around all the time. And
A hundred
that's
percent, yeah.
trauma. That's just a little bit of trauma, and people are carrying around a lot of that.
Yeah, but the difference between you and them is you recognize that. They're not recognizing it. And even me, after all the work I did, I realized I hadn't recognized this trauma myself from losing people, that I was actually contributing to these things in some shape or form. So, to finish on the med beds, they're real in terms of the American military have now distributed 8 million. Where they are, I don't know. These are some of the questions Anna is going to come back when she gets talking to the general.
All right, people, we'll have to come back for another show on this.
They're real.
That's the important part. They are real. And they're going to be healing people from the mind down. Yeah,
Absolutely.
fabulous. So we've got 6.5 minutes to go, Tony. We said earlier about how we're creating our new reality. We're creating this new world of ours, right? And I also said that some people will hesitate with that too because they've forgotten how to dream. Tell me what the world is going to look like for you. What do you see?
Well, I believe that there's been a bigger divine plan that overrides everything. So I've always had faith that good is going to win in the end. I do believe we are going back, and I believe the world in the next few years is going to be so different to what it is today. In my opinion, because I think a lot of people on here may resonate with this, you might have connections with things like Atlantis and Lemuria and other things. I believe that we are reconnecting with our ancient knowledge and the power. It had to happen. It always had to happen. We had to go through this shift. And this is far bigger and greater than any cabal or matrix. This is something that is bringing us back to who we truly are. And this awakening is happening. They can't stop it. It's
This
happening,
place just
you
got out
know.
of control, didn't it? It got way out of control, and it's got to stop. The buck stops now.
100%. Yeah, it did. It absolutely. And I think if you look back, you can actually see all the patterns. You're obviously a very intelligent and spiritual woman, so you will be able to see the join the dots. And when you do join the dots, that really just makes it realize that, hang on a second, this is we've been adding to this with our fears, you know,
In
and
cycles and cycles and
cycles and
cycles.
cycles. So I do believe that well, Anna used this. I thought we were still in the ship, but she says no, we are actually after the shift has already happened. That's
Correct.
what
It just takes a lot longer to come into reality because reality
reality.
is that material denseness.
And if you were to look along, because as I said, I talk a lot to Anna, so I've realized her mission, for example, which is in her belief, she's on a 60,000 odd mission, and she's coming to the end of that. And that mission is ultimately to help people to, yes, to reclaim what's there, but by doing so is really ultimately to reconnect with who they are. And I believe in the next number of years, especially in the next 5 to 10 years, we're going to see a very different world. There's still going to be chaos as people are coming to terms with this new reality, and they're going to have to make a choice, which is ultimately what this is about. The free will that God gave us, our Creator gave us, is the most important law, and it start and no matter what people say about, the delay and things like that with GFG, it really resonated with me when Hunter said, "We're done with evil. It's either you choose good over evil." And that's ultimately what people have to make a decision. Do
And
they
for
choose
people
good
out
or
there,
evil?
yeah, GFG is a new banking system, and we'll do
Oh,
that.
sorry. Yes.
We'll do that
Yeah.
another time. And
Yeah.
Hunter is certainly, the spearhead of all of that. Yeah. I mean, for those out there, for some comfort for them, I mean, part of the divide has been this divide in timelines, this split of what's going on, this new reality and the old reality. And I hope that gives some people some comfort into why they have become disconnected from family and friends. Everybody has to write a story about why that happened, but it doesn't matter about the story. It's an energetic thing that's gone on. And I hope that does give people comfort to go, oh, there's the shift, and I'm sort of on this side of the fence, and some people I know are on the other side of the fence, and there's nothing right or wrong about any of that, is there?
No, it's a choice. Absolutely. But that and that's the beauty of life. We have the freedom to choose. Even though it may not look like it in certain ways, but ultimately the choice consciously, and our intentions, they can't stop that. So that's where it all
Yeah.
starts.
And for the ones of us that are here on this side of the fence, we're ready to put our hand out to anybody
Absolutely.
that wants to step across. And by the sounds of it, this technology, these med beds, are going to absolutely bridge that gap, aren't they?
Oh, I said it. It's probably one of the greatest times to be alive,
Yes.
and if people realize that, they'll start to be living more in faith and excitement than fear and trepidation, you know.
Yes, and also open to change, right? Because everything
100%, yeah.
keeps changing and changing and changing. And just be okay, because every change reveals something better, doesn't it?
Absolutely, and the thing that's I just want to finish on is if you really do get to that point where you realize you're projecting what you're seeing is projection of what's going on in internally, as above so below, as within so without, it really does make you realize, wow, if I can change what's going on inside, I can change what's going on the outside.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's beautiful advice. And, for everybody out there, look in the mirror. Look in the mirror. Because the outside world, whatever's going on out there in your world, is just reflecting back what's going on inside your world. That's what you're saying, right?
Absolutely. That's the
And
message.
that's what you change. Don't change the mirror.
Yeah, absolutely. Don't change the external. Yeah, get it. And that's really hard for people because they haven't done that probably ever before, some of them. They've never gone in. They just keep thinking outside is, oh,
Yes.
what I see is what's real. It's
Yes.
only real if you've actually created that internally, you know.
Yeah. Oh, this has been fantastic. Absolutely
Thank you.
fantastic.
I've enjoyed it. You're a wonderful woman. You're a brilliant host.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. I've just enjoyed your, like, as I said from the beginning, what did I say? I said, his energy is good, his words are good, and now I'm going to
Yeah,
finally get to know the
meet the
man
man. Yeah,
behind.
that's so true. Yeah.
And I'd
Thank
love to
you.
have you back on again, because there's so much more we can touch.
Yeah,
But in the meantime,
absolutely.
Tony, thank you so much for being with me today and for sharing some beautiful and very heartfelt parts of your own life.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure. Really enjoyed it. Looking forward to coming back.
Okay.
Welcome to Inspired Radio with Helen Taylor. Get ready to be inspired. Stories have power and conversations spark change. So let's create a new world and get started right now.